ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer have to look at yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Toss. Lonte soaking up the sunshine down in Florida. Didn't tune in yesterday. We traded places. I returned from... I was down in Panama City Beach. Made my way back over the weekend. I am here this week. Lon flew down this weekend, and he's soaking up the sun for the majority of this week. He'll be back on Friday to help us preview Illinois and Penn State. On
When's my turn to soak up the sun?
I don't know.
Come on, man.
Can you get away with taking off from school?
No, I can't, unfortunately.
Maybe Christmas break?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. All right. We'll pencil you in there, although I'm gone all the time during basketball season. But we'll find a time for Kyle to get down there. You should probably just go and watch your Dolphins down in Miami sometime.
I should. Hey, Christmas break. There might be some big-time late-season games down there.
There you go. We'll be talking about your Miami Dolphins today. We dabbled a little bit with the NFL, mostly the Bears. I got some anger off my chest late in the show. We, of course, divulge most of our time to the Illini. Their disappointing Week 2 effort there in Lawrence, Kansas. I know it had Illini fans feeling pretty sick to their stomachs for the most part of that game. You're down 34-7 late in that third quarter. Had a couple of late scores, kind of that John Gross at Indiana fake rally, if you ask me. It did make Kansas fans maybe a little tense for a few moments, but Illinois was not able to make that thing happen ultimately in the end. And a very, very, very tough opponent coming up on Saturday when number 7 Penn State comes to town. We got more time this week to break that down, but we got to talk week 1 of the NFL. And we'll start with Monday Night Football, and after that, we'll get into some winners and losers of week 1, I imagine. And I've written out some of my picks for both sides. And Kyle, your Miami Dolphins are on there, and you probably know which side they're on after nearly 500 passing yards from Tua Tagovailoa. But that sick feeling the Illinois fans were feeling watching Kansas and Illinois on Friday night was probably amplified to another level for Jets fans. That first drive last night, Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers comes out. His first drive is his only drive with the Jets, tears his Achilles, and it turned out to be a drama-filled, entertaining, must-watch finish, and I appreciated that because the life was sucked out of that building, and really anybody watching at home was probably like, man, I was really looking forward to a star-studded game, and all of a sudden Zach Wilson's back on my TV screen, and the Jets probably have no chance.
Yeah, that's just brutal. On the first 4 snaps into Aaron Rodgers' Jets career after the whole offseason where he talks about how much he believes in the Jets and that he wants to take them to a Super Bowl, and obviously the hype train that I got grew very annoyed with, but I wanted to see what was going to happen. As a football fan, I was excited to see what that was going to look like. I was excited for those Dolphins-Jets matchups twice this year with Aaron Rodgers. And he tears his Achilles and is done for the season. And it's just brutal because, I mean, even you could see it last night against Josh Allen. Like, that Jets defense is legit. That's a legitimately dominant Jets defense. And now you got to go with Zach Wilson at quarterback for the rest of the year. It definitely sucks the life out of New York. I do feel bad on that front because that's brutal. The Jets have been looking for that quarterback for so, so long. They finally get it. They finally get Aaron Rodgers. He's bought in. They build a roster that a lot of people are projecting to go a long way. And four snaps into it, it's done. That's tough.
And the problem was, like, throughout the offseason, for as much hype as the Jets got, and, yeah, they were on Hard Knocks, and there were – they get Dalvin Cook right before the season starts, who's a bona fide – you know, he's a top-level back still, even though he's, you know, hitting that window where he's got a little bit left of his prime and then probably on that downslope of what typical running backs go through. But Aaron Rodgers made them a bona fide Super Bowl contender, but offensive line was thought to be an issue, and that played out through that immediately in that game. Rodgers had to roll out to avoid a sack on one of his very first snaps that he took, and then, of course, he takes that sack and tears his Achilles. So I'm not going to sit here and say if he didn't tear his Achilles, then a season-ending injury was going to happen at some point. But, I mean, even Zach Wilson was running for his life at some points last night, and that was one hole in their roster that could come back to bite them. Now you got a big one at quarterback as well because Rodgers is on the shelf. But I'll pose this question your way because I think that you think about it in this area, a lot of our listening audience, the way that I am as a Bears fan – I wouldn't, and you're a Dolphins fan, you're in that same division. You mentioned many times the annoyance of all the hype and all the just kind of praise and assumptions being placed on the Jets' shoulders before they had done anything. But do we feel bad for Aaron Rodgers? Do we feel bad for the Jets? Maybe those are two different answers depending on who you ask. But I'm sure a lot of Bears fans out there who have been rubbed the wrong way about Rodgers as a guy that's beat your brains in and been rather cocky about it. Maybe you feel a certain type of way about what he said. Well, let's be honest about COVID, about some other stuff out there. Just his persona is very polarizing. I do think that some of the ways he was portrayed on Hard Knocks made him seem more likable if you were maybe on the other side and you were against Aaron Rodgers for a long time. But do you feel bad for Aaron Rodgers?
I do. I don't have the Bears fan hatred that I'm sure a lot of people have towards him. So I do because he was clearly fired up for this opportunity to move on. He was done with the Packers. He kind of left the Packers on harsh terms with that front office. And all offseason, it seemed like he was really excited about this young Jets group that he thought he could finally win that second Super Bowl with. And they put pieces around him. I mean, you got Garrett Wilson, a young, exciting receiver. You got a really good young defense. It was an opportunity for him to really, really kind of silence some of the noise that's gone around him ever since, you know, that first Super Bowl. And so I feel bad for him. The other thing is, like, tearing your Achilles at 39 years old.
It's tough.
I don't know if he's going to play again. If he does play again, I don't know if he's going to be anywhere near Aaron Rodgers when he does get back. And that's just to have a Hall of Fame, maybe top 3-5 quarterback ever, how it's in some people's minds, however you want to argue that, to have his career potentially end or never be the same again due to an unfortunate injury like that. I feel bad for anyone, even if it was my biggest rival, that happens to them. So I do feel honestly bad for him personally.
Yeah, and as a Bears fan, I can very much relate to the struggles that the Jets have had to try to find that quarterback. I mean, they've had almost as bad of a list probably throughout the years of who they put under center. I don't know. I think that the Washington Commanders, formerly known as the Washington Redskins, the Arizona Cardinals, the Bears, there's a handful of teams that have really had a terrible go of trying to find a solidified long-term solution at quarterback. I mean, of course, the Jets had like Joe Namath way back in the day, and Vinny Testaverde was a solid quarterback there in the 90s for a while. But after that, it was a real struggle for them. So they finally get their guy, and really they had all the, like you're saying, they had all the other pieces intact with the defense, with a high-level receiver in Garrett Wilson. You get Alan Lazard, who's someone that Rodgers had familiarity with and was especially a target in the red zone that he had success with there in Green Bay. Breece Hall, I mean, coming off the ACL, didn't show any signs of any lingering issues. I mean, he looked dynamic. We know Dalvin Cook is very, very good. They looked to be assembled to make a real run at it this year. I think you hit it on the head in terms of him being a Hall of Famer. And even in when you have stars that you maybe aren't particular the biggest fans of, like I didn't love Kobe Bryant for a long time, but then when Kobe, like towards the latter stages of his career, I really appreciated his greatness, appreciated the competitor that he was, appreciated just what you're watching. Now, I'm sure I'll get there with LeBron James too, even though I'd still kind of admittedly like to dislike the guy, but why not just kind of enjoy one of the greats of this current era, or maybe even all time. I think Aaron Rodgers is on a list of the top 10 to 15. I'd put him on the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. And I think it just, the expectations that were set, regardless of whether you wanted to see Aaron Rodgers succeed with the Jets, which I was personally fine with watching and kind of found myself, I don't know if rooting for, but as I watched Hard Knocks, as I thought about this season, I'm like, I'd be cool if the Jets were a player, you know, going up against Mahomes in the playoffs in Arrowhead, or going up against a Josh Allen team, a Miami Dolphins squad, a loaded AFC. I wanted to see them be a factor. Or even if you wanted to see him fail, let that play out in some big games and not have it all wash away in one drive. And now it's all of a sudden a Jets team that's limited again with Zach Wilson. That's the bummer part of it for me. I do feel bad for Aaron Rodgers, but one of my buddies posed that question to me today. He's like, if he was still playing for Green Bay, let's say he was in that game in Soldier Field and the same thing happened. First drive, the Bears, you know, Ngakoue comes off the edge and tears his Achilles. Would you be sympathetic? Would you feel bad for him? I wouldn't feel bad for Green Bay because they've been spoiled enough at quarterback. I probably would still feel bad for Aaron Rodgers. We just don't want to see guys get on the shelf after at any point in the season, but especially, you know, before it even started this week.
Yeah, and an Achilles injury is just – those are awful. I mean, that's just one of the worst injuries you can have. That's going to be a tough recovery. It'll be interesting to see if he does make it back as their starter by week one next year, if he is able to recover and be himself again and at least give the Jets a season or two of what they were expecting to have. But I'm a little skeptical about that because he's going to be 40 years old when he recovers from this injury. And I don't know if he's going to be the same guy coming off an Achilles rupture like this. So it'll be interesting to see, but it does suck. I was excited for this division and the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets as a Dolphins fan. It was going to be really fun, and it still can be. I mean, the Jets can still make noise, but you just can't put them in a Super Bowl contender tier with Zach Wilson at quarterback. So it's kind of a bummer to see that. And yeah, four snaps in on a Monday night game in New York, 9/11, just the build up, just the setting and how great that atmosphere was last night. It just, like you said, you could feel the life get sucked out of the building, and that kind of sucked.
Yeah, it stunk for sure. I mean, I definitely think Aaron is going to try to come back. I wouldn't think that he's going to want to go out that way. And he's still, in terms of playing, I didn't buy into some people that said, well, you know, look at Aaron Rodgers' stats last year. I mean, his QBR was like 23rd, 25th. It was one season removed from being the MVP. Yes, he didn't have Devontae Adams, but all of a sudden the weapons around him in New York were pretty good. And maybe they do address the offensive line in the offseason. Yes, like you said, I mean, their season's not over. I mean, they won the game last night. I'm not bearing the lead there because Aaron Rodgers is the story, but let's get to the rest of the game. It was a lower-scoring, ugly affair. It was 13-3 Bills at halftime. But Josh Allen just couldn't help himself. He had to continuously turn the ball over, and it gave the Jets chances late. He had a pick, which then they turned into a touchdown on an unbelievable grab by Garrett Wilson. And right after that, Allen fumbles, short field. Jets kick a field goal, take the lead. The Bills ultimately tie it with a field goal of their own right before the end of regulation. That was their only points in the second half. And then it goes to overtime, and you have just an epic punt return for a touchdown. Thoughts on the game as a whole, but let's maybe focus on the other side in terms of the signal caller. Josh Allen, who's on the cover of Madden, thought to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's got a real turnover issue.
He does, yeah. Last year, this was a problem for him. He makes these boneheaded decisions and throws where he just can't help himself. He thinks he can make every play, you know, and a couple of years ago, he was making every play, and now I feel like he's gotten a little too greedy at times. And yeah, some of those decisions last night were just terrible in a position where the Bills have all the momentum in the game and they're in control of the game, and Zach Wilson's on the other side. Their defense is playing well, and Josh Allen really gave the Jets a chance to get back into the game and ultimately get it to overtime. So that it's interesting because I do feel like there was, you know, some chatter out there, like, especially when Rodgers was healthy, like, is this still the Bills division? I feel like when people were talking about Super Bowl contenders this offseason, Bills weren't one of the first names to come up as they had been the last couple of years. And maybe that's just because, you know, there's some of these newer, you know, the Eagles breakthrough last year, the 49ers breakthrough last year. Everyone was hyping the Jets up. Maybe Bills fell a little bit lower down on that pecking order. But I don't know if this Bills team is quite as good as they have been in years. I think they're still going to have a really good year, but they haven't gotten over that hump to get to a Super Bowl in the last couple of years with really good rosters. Now, like, Von Miller's hurt for them, and Josh Allen really does have a turnover issue. I don't know. I'm not sitting here thinking the Bills are a top AFC contender after watching them last night. I still think they're a good team, but I have some questions, especially if Josh Allen is going to continue to hand the football away.
You look at since 2021, so you get a 24-game sample size, all 17 games in 21, 16 last year, and then one to start this season. He has had 37 turnovers. He's had 32 picks. He's had 5 fumbles. He's put the ball on the ground a lot more than that. He's had 13 fumbles, but only lost 5 of them. But it's a guy that just continues to take unnecessary chances. And last night, I mean, they were winning the game, and he was throwing the ball into double coverage. Mm-hmm. And he still, even though, like, there are times where he does some absurd stuff when he's trying to run for a first down, it's clear he's not going to get it. He tries to jump over a defender when he's 5 yards short. Like, there's no sense of self-preservation there. Now, I appreciate the competitiveness, but you do got to be – when you're the franchise quarterback, and where would the Bills seasons – if this was flipped and Josh Allen's going to be reckless and maybe he breaks a collarbone or something, the Bills season is toast, obviously. But – look, I would love to have him. There are probably 30 teams out there, 28 teams out there who would trade their guy for Josh Allen. But still, like, for their expectations to be get to a Super Bowl and win one, he's got to be a little bit more conscious of his decision making. And look, when you're on that pedestal, when you've reached that point, and then the criticism gets ramped up. Like, we've seen it with even great players like a Kevin Durant or something. All of a sudden, you're under that microscope where, yes, you're a great player, but there are some things that differentiate you from being a really, really good player in the league versus being a guy that's going to win a title. And unless he cleans that up, that's going to be a hindrance for them to be able to win the whole thing.
I will say, too, though, that Jets defense scares me. Like, if Aaron Rodgers was healthy all year after watching last night's game, I'd be scared with that defense and what they're capable of. And that they're probably going to win a lot of games just with these ugly, low-scoring grinders where maybe they do fall behind 10-3, but the defense forces a couple turnovers. Zach Wilson does enough. They can run the ball with Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook, and they can still make noise. They can't be in the Super Bowl contender tier with Zach Wilson. It's just not going to happen. Zach Wilson has proven, unless he has a remarkable breakthrough and takes this opportunity and runs with it, which if he does it, good for him. I'm not buying that. Even last night, I mean, he made a good throw or two, but he just, you know, he was running for his life a lot, but he didn't look particularly good to me and made that terrible pick too. So It's going to be a challenge for them, but I will say that Jets defense is one of the best units in football, and I think they proved that last night. And I talked about it last year, how good some of those younger pieces on their defense looked. And they, you know, Josh Allen made some really dumb decisions, but they also had pressure in his face all night and were forcing a lot of that. So that just gives some credit to the Jets as well.
Yeah, they had 5 sacks, 9 QB hits. I mean, they were wreaking some havoc there in the backfield for sure, and we're confusing him even sometimes with some blitzes when they didn't think that pressure was coming. And Sauce Gardner didn't even necessarily have his best game. Stephon Diggs kind of got the best of him that last night. But Jordan Whitehead had 3 picks, one shy of what I got to witness one afternoon there in Chicago when Jay Cutler decided to throw 4 to D'Angelo Hall. I still got that cemented in my mind, but I think a question a lot of people are asking, there's no doubt that Zach Wilson is going to get every opportunity now to hold on to the job and be the guy. But you would imagine there's been reports that they're kicking the tires on some veteran free agents. Tom Brady's not going to happen. Like, I mean, he was just at Gillette Stadium to be celebrated by the Patriots last week. Just the mental state of Pats fans. If he goes from that to then being like, yeah, you know, that's a pretty good situation that Aaron had. I'll sign up for that. Matt Ryan was in a booth over the weekend calling a game. I don't think he's necessarily come out and officially retired, but the options are probably pretty slim for them in terms of who they can get. Although they should probably go get somebody in case Zach Wilson goes down or also just completely stinks. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I just at this point, you just probably ride it with Zach Wilson and take the ounce of potential that's left there. And, I mean, what, Carson Wentz is out there?
No.
We're not gonna. Joe Flacco, come. I mean,
Philip Rivers.
No, I yeah, it's it's.
He's
got to
feed all those kids, man.
I think he's made plenty of money to do that.
I think
but,
so.
But yeah, there's a lot. He's got a lot of mouths to feed in that family. But I don't think the options are much better for the Jets.
All right, we're gonna catch a break. When we return, we're gonna do winners and losers of Week One of the NFL. We'll start on the bright side. I want to talk some about Kyle's Dolphins, who were impressive. The Dallas Cowboys. I know we got, you know, there's Cowboys fans all over America. We got some here in Central Illinois as well. They'll be happy to hear they were definitely one of the winners in a 40-0 blowout win on Sunday Night Football against the Giants. And I got one more thought in terms of a winner from last night as well. So we'll get to that. If you want to weigh in, you can 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. We are off early today once again for Cardinals baseball, so 4:40 the pregame show will kick in. We got plenty of NFL to talk. We're also going to hear from Brett Bielema. Spoke to the media yesterday. Wanted to get you that before we get out of here. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I got a Stever for you today. This is unique. From Bulldog Disposal, Phil and Muhammad has a wonderful dumpster business. Now, he has a new invention. It's called the Doggy Bag. It actually unfolds and can carry 6 cubic yards of garbage or trash or whatever you need to dump. So I'm going to buy you a doggy bag that holds 6 cubic yards. It's canvas. It can hold up to like 2,000 pounds. So I'm going to buy you the doggy bag, and then I'm going to pay for one dump where he comes over with his crane and takes it away. That's over $200 in value, and I'm giving you one if you'd like. Text in doggy bag. If you want to be considered for Bulldog Disposal and the Stever offer, a doggy bag that I'll pay for, and then one dump that he'll come and get your stuff. All right, 217-359-2255. Just text me doggy bag to be considered. Doggy bag to be considered. Good luck.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hey, Class A CDL drivers. Gail Ferrix Trucking wants to invite you to join our team and get a taste of what it's like to work with a team that cares about you, your home time, and your professional growth, as well as your paycheck. This is Operations Manager Donna Onstott inviting you to join us as we continue building the company you would have started if you knew then what you know now. Gail Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. Our drivers are pre-dispatched, make a guaranteed minimum gross pay of $1,200 per week, have paid vacations and benefits, and are home every weekend and sometimes during the week for quality family time. Our openings are limited, so don't miss your opportunity with the top-paying trucking company in the area, Gail Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. The days are getting longer, and our customers are booking us up with freight. Gail Ferrix Trucking. 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes, and somebody came up and asked if I needed help. And they were incredible, helping me find the size of boot I needed. And then I bought a second pair, too. Everything was friendly. Everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit Pards.com, Pards.com. Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Talking to the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Let's get to our winners and losers of week one from the NFL football season. Let's start on the winning side. Kyle, you want to do the honors and go first?
I'll go first, and I'll get my homer pick out of the way here. Miami Dolphins are a winner from week one. Tua Tagovailoa, 466 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns. Dolphins win a shootout against Justin Herbert and the Chargers, 36-34. And it was, I mean, it's Dolphins offense was fun to watch last year when Tua was healthy. This was about as fun as it's been to watch. I mean, that was, Dolphins moved the ball down the field at will. Tua played the best game that I've seen him play in his career, which is as good a sign as you could ask for coming off those concussions last year in game one of year four for him, with a good roster and a loaded AFC that you need him to be his best self if you want a chance to compete in it. And he was outstanding, and yeah, having Tyreek Hill, man, the Dolphins are going to be in the mix. They're going to be in the mix in the AFC because they're going to be able to score with anybody. Defense needs a lot of work for sure. Chargers like average 7 yards a carry. I mean, Austin Eckler was running through the teeth of that defense. That's got to get corrected for sure, but I think they will with more time under Vic Fangio now. But that performance from Tua and Tyreek was just so fun to watch, and what a great sign for the Miami Dolphins in this loaded AFC. I think, you know, Chiefs have proven it the last couple of years that you can get a long way if you can outscore everybody on your schedule, and I think that's going to kind of be the Dolphins' MO this year, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, man. I mean, there were a lot of people who wondered, off of 2 concussions for Tua, shuts him down last year, what's he look like starting this season? There were some, what was the weird comments that Ryan Clark made about, say something about his work ethic, or I don't know what he said, but
he said something about how he doesn't look like he's in shape, and that. Just it wasn't true at all, and he was actually bulking up a little bit so that he could not, you know, get the impact of his falls and taking sacks wouldn't be as large trying to prevent concussions. So he was kind of on a program doing that, and Ryan Clark had some comments earlier the offseason, but he looked pretty in shape on Sunday and looked really good. A couple of the throws he made were legitimate. Like, you could see the growth in his game. Like, a couple of those throws are throws that he couldn't make a couple years ago. So, I think it's a heck of a sign. Obviously, it's you only win by 2. The defense gives up, like, 400 yards. But if you can outscore everybody, you're going to win a lot of games.
And part of that recipe, no one in the world can cover Tyreek Hill.
No.
Nobody.
No, and there's no way to defend him, too, because the Chargers played man coverage on him way too often, and he just blew by everybody. And when you drop into a zone, Tua hits him, you know, 10 yards, he uses his speed, he's down the field 40 yards after the catch. Like, there's no way to stop him.
And Waddle is nearly as fast.
Waddle had kind of a quiet game, but, you know, just his presence on the field is going to open a lot of things up. And if they're going to go over and double Tyreek, well, look out, Jalen Waddle's got a one-on-one matchup now. So, yeah, it's a tough offense to defend. Now, Tua's got to stay healthy all year. If he does, it's a good sign.
I'll give you my first one, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Dallas Cowboys, 40-0, absolutely dominant. Just a soul-crushing win against the Giants. 7 sacks on Daniel Jones. Tony Pollard looked great coming off his season-ending injury. And they look like a machine. I get it. It's one game, and we always – I wouldn't say we, but we're usually accustomed to a lot of preseason, early season hype for the Cowboys. Can they do it over the course of a full season? Can they do it in the playoffs? There's still some lingering questions about Dak, whether he can be that guy, but they did go out and get Brandon Cooks, who's a really nice wide receiver too, to pair with CeeDee Lamb. So I love the way that Dallas looked in week one. Micah Parsons is obviously a beast. You get Stephon Gilmore to go with Trayvon Diggs in that secondary. This is a legit, legit Dallas Cowboys team, at least in terms of how they looked in week one, and they do get the benefit, although it won't be easy, of facing Zach Wilson week two instead of Aaron Rodgers week two there in Dallas.
Yeah, they just completely dominated that game. I know that the Giants' offensive line has a lot of issues, but that Dallas pass rush is unreal. I mean, they were in the backfield on every single snap. It seemed like 7 sacks. I think it could be a really good Cowboys defense. Do want to see what Dak is able to do this year. He's been, you know, he's had a lot of heat on him this offseason for the way he played down the stretch last year. Really wasn't forced to do anything on Sunday night because the Cowboys are up 16-0 in about 4 minutes and had a special teams and defensive touchdown in there. So I want to see a game where he has to go actually win you a football game and kind of see a little more of that offense than we saw. But Cowboys defense looks ferocious. That pass rush is dominant, and yeah, the Cowboys could be a really good team. I mean, they won like 12 games last year. They were good. It just, can they get over the hump in the postseason? But I think the talent on that roster has always been there.
No doubt. You're up next.
I'm going to throw it back just because this is still a week one game. I know me and Lon talked about it on Friday, but the Detroit Lions are a big winner from week one to go into Arrowhead off their hype from the offseason in a winnable division, and they go and start 1-0 for the first time since 2017. That's the first time they won their week one game in 6 years. And it was at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. I know that Travis Kelce was out. I get that. Chiefs probably win the game if he plays and Kadarius Toney doesn't have to get targeted 5 times and drop 4 of them. But nevertheless, the Lions looked impressive. Their defense looked much improved from last year. Her run game was pretty good with Montgomery and Gibbs, and anytime you go into Arrowhead Stadium and beat the Chiefs with Mahomes in the lineup is extremely impressive. And, you know, you look across that division and the Vikings looked super unimpressive. Obviously, the Bears didn't look like they're taking the jump that some thought they might.
Hey, now.
The Packers look solid, but I'm taking the Lions in that division, and week one only reinforced that for me.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Campbell goes from – here's the Lions' trajectory for me. It goes – a coach who's a fun quote to an offense that's a fun offense, but they can't guard anybody, to now it looks like they are a legit team. Like, they are a team that can win games. I mean, they reeled off, what, 8 of their last 9 or something like that down the stretch of last season?
Yep.
And then were able to win the opener in Arrowhead. I don't care if Kelce's out there or not. It's a huge deal for the Chiefs, but still beating Mahomes opening night. You have the ring ceremony night. That just seems like always a game that the home team wins. You get the emotion in there, the crowd behind you, and it's the reigning Super Bowl champs. It feels like the road team rarely ever wins that game. And, yes, Jared Goff's still going to have to show more. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have to get used more. I know that a lot of fantasy owners out there were frustrated with that as well. But, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson was making plays. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a beast. And then Jameson Williams at some point is going to come back off of the gambling suspension. And I know he had the injury that – kept him out for a good amount of last year, but that's a dynamic receiver too. So I like what I saw from the Lions. I still think it's not a foregone conclusion. I'm not saying that you were pointing that direction that they're going to win the North, but that was a big win for them in week one.
Yeah, no, it's not a foregone conclusion, but I bought into them this offseason. I think they are going to win the division, and beating the Chiefs at Arrowhead only reinforces my stance.
I mentioned Jameson Williams on the shelf for gambling. Another guy who was on the shelf for far too long for some FanDuel or DraftKings bets, whatever it was. Calvin Ridley, welcome back to the NFL. And yes, he is still a number one wide receiver. 100 yards and a touchdown in his first game there in Indianapolis with the Jags. He really adds a big play element to that Jacksonville Jaguars offense. Trevor Lawrence, his stats didn't blow you away. I mean, he threw for like 250 and 2 touchdowns, but I really like what they were working with. I mean, they got ETN out of the backfield, Christian Kirk, some other weapons. But to give him a bona fide number one in a a big, you know, year three step kind of, that's really in quarterback developments. When you look at that, year three was huge for Jalen Hurts, huge for Josh Allen, and so on and so forth. This could be a big one for Trevor Lawrence to take that next step. And if Calvin Ridley is going to look like that, that's going to be a huge part of yet another team that could make some serious noise in the AFC.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. They looked impressive. I was interested to see how the Colts were going to look, because I think they still got a lot of pieces on that roster. Anthony Richardson didn't look all that bad. He did throw one pick, but he looked pretty solid in his first career start. But yeah, the Jags go into Indianapolis, take care of the Colts, and in an AFC that's got a list of contenders, the Jags have by far the easiest path to just get into the playoffs, because they're in a division where they're by far the favorite. And the Tennessee Titans aren't doing anything about that. I mean, Ryan Tannehill had maybe the worst game of anyone this week. So the Jags are in a good spot, and it's obviously huge to go start off by getting a road division win. And, yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do. And Calvin Ridley, you know, off a year off to have 100 yards and a touchdown is pretty impressive.
Do you have another winner?
I think the San Francisco 49ers are a winner. I don't think anyone didn't expect them to go beat the Steelers this weekend, but they were dominant. I mean, they dominated that game. Defense looks as good as ever. They held the Steelers to like 1 yard in like the first 25 minutes of that game, and their offense was just chugging along. Except that's a good Steelers defense, regardless of, you know, whether you believe in Kenny Pickett. I mean, Mike Tomlin's always got a good Steelers defense with T.J. Watt and some of those secondary pieces. The 49ers with Brock Purdy coming back from injury made a statement there with a 30-7 win. McCaffrey was dynamic. Brandon Ayuk had a huge game, 2 touchdowns. They're my favorite in the NFC, I'll just say that. I know the Eagles are a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Brock Purdy just plays like he did last year, it's just such a dominant defense and so many weapons on offense. 49ers are in a spot to win the NFC, and they were just so dominant that I think they can qualify if I have to throw one more in there.
I know there are some of these winners and losers that go hand in hand. It depends on what side you're really taking. Of course, I'm going to give you no surprise, but the Bears is a huge loser. But I'll admit, as a Bears fan, the Packers were a winner of week one. I'll at least throw that out there. Jordan Love looked pretty good. I don't think he's special. It's still early, but for them, you know, Packers fans admittedly had to hear from people like me, Joey Wagner. I'm sure if he's listening, he's smiling right now. Me saying, hey, you don't got Rodgers anymore. We got Fields. We think we got our answer at quarterback. This thing's turning around, and they come into Soldier Field and do what they've done for a long time, which is dominate the Bears. So I do think Green Bay is a winner out of that. The fact that Minnesota loses at home, that's a big deal to kind of start the shuffling of the power rankings in the division at the outset. And you still got some, you know, get Christian Watson back when you do. Dubs looks good. You got Aaron Jones and obviously A.J. Dillon as well. We'll see with this Packers defense. I don't think you can put a ton into what that week one looked like, because I think the Bears offense was that bad. But I will give Green Bay a win in terms of week one out of that. But one more that I had down. Monday Night Football won last night. Now, even though it didn't look like it, it was a comeback win. It was down maybe 28-3 like the Patriots in the Super Bowl once before. But you had drama. You had overtime. You had an epic ending, punt return touchdown in overtime. I just feel like Monday Night Football as a production is back to feeling big time. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call. If you want to do the alternate viewing experience, listening to the Mannings, I don't want to ask you about that. I mean, I like them, Peyton and Eli, and you get some guests on there. But I personally, in the past, I would much rather have listened to them than you go through the recent cycles here. It really started with like Jason Witten, who was unfortunate for him. I'm assuming he's a nice guy. He just wasn't good at it. He was kind of a laughingstock.
Booger McFarland
was not good.
Tough to listen to.
Joe Tessitore as the play-by-play, and they cycle into Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Louis Riddick. Like, it just never felt like an A-list big time viewing experience, and it should. It's Monday Night Football. It's ESPN. Now you get that back, I feel like, with Joe Buck, with Troy Aikman, and I want to listen to those guys even more, to the Mannings. I think that for me as a viewer, I feel like the best thing when you're watching a game is a play-by-play guy that can accurately like call a moment, like a huge moment in a game. I don't feel like you get that with the Mannings. You get different, you know, dialogue and insight into a, you know, some of the best, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and Eli was probably going to be a Hall of Famer, but I feel like Monday Night Football is a big deal. And to start out with that game, I guess Aaron Rodgers being out was a big knock on it, but it was highly entertaining. And as a viewer, you want that Monday night to feel like a big deal, and last night it did.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Getting Joe Buck and Troy Aikman to ESPN for Monday night makes all the difference. It just ups the quality of the broadcast, and it makes it feel like a big game. When you hear Joe Buck on there, regardless of your opinion on him, I actually think he's pretty darn good. I know some people disagree, but when you hear his voice, you know it's a big-time game regardless of sport.
100%. And last note, how about that? We didn't mention it. I briefly glossed over it. That catch by Garrett Wilson last night.
That was incredible.
Whew.
Incredible.
Like, it could have been a pick. Like, the way that he, like, knocks it away up in the air from the defender and able to catch it on his backside. That was one heck of a play. And then to walk it off with a punt return touchdown, that was epic. A lot of fun. A lot of fun last night on Monday Night Football. There's your winners. Let's talk some negatives. There are plenty of them around the league, and none more so than my Chicago Bears. We'll get to that. Hit us up, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. This is The Drive.
Does your home have those annoying outdoor spigots that leak and have no pressure? Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing can help. Install a new Woodford outdoor spigot so your gardens and flowers don't suffer in this summer heat. Make sure your home's outdoors look great. And call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks $4, plus wine and seltzers for $4.50, and pitchers are $9. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50, $2 off on tequila shots, and margaritas are $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's, then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Uh-oh. Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get 5 bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. For the Bears, $4 Miller Lite drafts in the 22-ounce keeper mugs and Simply Spiked Lemonade. Pia's is the place to party any day of the week.
Welcome to Sarah Champaign, home of their award-winning Honda dealership, a double recipient of the prestigious Honda President's Award. With a legacy of excellence, they offer you the finest selection of Honda vehicles backed by unparalleled customer service. As a two-time winner, they're committed to exceeding your expectations. Visit them today at Route 45 at Burwash or Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com. Sarah Champagne, home of Honda, BMW, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. That's SarahChampagne.com.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
We hit you with our winners from week one here on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's get to the losers from the NFL opening weekend. I'll do the honors, Kyle. You know where I'm going. I talked about it some yesterday. The biggest loser in my mind is the souls of Bears fans. My soul lost yesterday. I don't know if I have it anymore. You go back to the NFC Championship game in January of 2011. Bears hosting the Packers. Bears won the division that year. And from that game on, Kyle, my Chicago Bears are now 3-23 against the Green Bay Packers. And it was non-competitive on Sunday. It was an absolute embarrassing loss. So many things went wrong. Just about everything went wrong. From the opening drive where you tight end sneak it on 3rd-and-1, go for it on 4th-and-1, give Jordan Love a short field to score a touchdown, and the ball is rolling pretty significantly towards losing yet again to Green Bay over and over and over. It's the Bill Murray clip. It's Groundhog Day again. That was me on Sunday. The play calling was atrocious. The offensive line equally as bad. The fact that Justin Fields attempted 3 passes beyond 10 yards. I know it says a decent amount about the plays. It says a decent amount about Justin Fields. The fact that we even have, as a Bears fan, and I'm on the more optimistic side. I know there are some that say Fields is just a runner, non-accomplished thrower. Maybe the Bears should take a legit look, depending on their draft spot, at a quarterback. I'm not there because I'm believing in Justin Fields. But there is a tinge of doubt somewhere in the back of my mind, and I hate it. This is supposed to be the year where he takes a undisputable step forward into year 3 with a legit one receiver and DJ Moore. And I didn't see anything as far as the signs of that on Sunday. Chase Claypool is a complete, utter failure of a trade for Ryan Poles. I mean, the clips on Twitter are everywhere of him giving no effort at all. And the defense is supposed to be better, but they got just torched by Green Bay, who isn't even in the top half of the league, probably, especially in wide receiver weapons. When you take out Christian Watson, that is a game you should be able to hang there in the secondary and make Jordan Love's life tough. They didn't at all. So Sunday looked like the Bears are going to be drafting in the top 10, or I should say, sorry, the top 5 of the draft once again. And I hope I'm wrong, but that was brutal.
Yeah, it did not look like the improved football team that I thought it would be, and that many people thought it would be at all. It looked like last year's football team in most ways. I mean, it offensive line looked like it hadn't improved a bit. I mean, who was the offensive lineman they went out and signed? Is it Nate Davis? Who, I mean, gave up maybe a pressure every time he dropped back. I mean, that
Fields was pressured on what, like more than 60% of his dropbacks?
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable.
And the offensive line was terrible. The defense was terrible. I mentioned it yesterday. I find it hard to put a ton of blame on Fields because I thought he'd have the weaponry and he'd have the protection now to actually show off some things. Well, A, he didn't, because his weapons didn't show up. DJ Moore got shut down. Chase Claypool didn't even try. And the offensive line was horrible. and B, his offensive coordinator didn't give him any chances to actually showcase anything in terms of improvement with his arm, except for that one touchdown pass to Darnell Mooney, which is actually a nice play there, but it was too late. So, yeah, that's frustrating. I'd be right in your shoes if I was a Bears fan. That was a tough one to watch, and it just compounds it with the fact that it's the Green Bay Packers coming into Soldier Field and doing it.
Even if beneath the surface, like, he's the right guy, like, he is your franchise quarterback, and you hit on a quarterback in the draft, you still might ruin him. You still might do a terrible job of putting the right coaches around him, the right talent around him, for him to actually reach a point where he's that player that we see on Sundays. That's still also a huge fear of mine, is they're just going to ruin Justin Fields.
Yeah, it wasn't a good start to year three at all. And like you said yesterday, he's not without blame either.
That pick was horrible.
Terrible. You mentioned I'm not paying close attention to some other plays where you said he missed some reads, which has been a big problem for him. So it'll be interesting to see, but there's obviously a lot of season left.
How about a loser for you?
I'll go with the other obvious one. I mean, the New York Giants. I mean, what are we doing here? 40-0. The only team that didn't put up a point, first off, in week one. At home, the Dallas Cowboys, a rivalry game. This is a Giants team that was in the postseason last year, won a postseason game last year against the Minnesota Vikings, and they looked like the worst team not only in the NFL this year, but one of the worst teams I've ever seen. I mean, that was as bad a performance as I've seen from an NFL team in a long time. 7 sacks allowed. Cowboys pass rush got home every single drop back that Daniel Jones made. He also made a couple terrible throws. Saquon Barkley couldn't get going at all because you're down by 20, 10 minutes into the game. You're not going to run the football very much, and you weren't going to run very effectively into the teeth of that Cowboys defense anyway. And it's a demoralizing loss for a Giants team that had such a surprise year last year with Brian Daboll coming in and bringing new life to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones gets that big contract extension this offseason, and the Giants just lay a complete egg at home against their biggest rival on Sunday Night Football on national TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just as putrid of a performance as I've seen from an NFL football team in a while, and that was a tough one to come back from. There's some real concerns there, because if that offensive line is going to play like they did on Sunday night, Giants are going to win 4 games. I mean, that's impossible to overcome that. And, you can't say their defense didn't look good, because the Cowboys really didn't need to do much offensively and were scoring a lot defensively with short fields. But there's a problem in New York for both teams.
Yes.
Not just the Jets, but also the Giants.
That's a great point. Lindy on the U of I Atlanta League text line says, if the Raiders aren't a winner, Broncos better be a loser. Yeah, I mean, they also, being at home, a lot of hope around Sean Payton turning things around there, and that offense, once again, went nowhere. And they were able to win, was it 14-13?
17-16.
17-16, and I didn't watch it, admittedly, Lindy. I was too busy a deep depression watching the Bears. But Jimmy G going into Denver and beating a Broncos squad that has to be thoroughly underwhelmed continuously with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. You'd hope they could turn it around. It's early, but, yeah, I get the sentiment there. How about another laying an egg at home? Seattle Seahawks, man.
Yeah.
Another playoff team from last year. A team that had some high hopes because offensively on paper, they look like they're loaded. I mean, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, they get Jaxon Smith-Njigba in the draft. They got Kenneth Walker. Geno Smith had a really good year. And they let Matthew Stafford and the Cooper Cupless Rams offense go in there and shred them for 30-plus points. It was a non-competitive game in the second half. I mean, they got guys that I've never heard of a receiver putting up 100 yards. They had 2 receivers. Have you heard of Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua?
Definitely have not heard of Puka Nacua. I remember Tutu Atwell getting drafted in the second round, and everyone was like, who? And yeah.
What is going on? I know Devin Witherspoon, the Illini product, was not out there week one, but that was brutal for Pete Carroll's squad.
It was, yeah. And their offense didn't look very good either against the Rams defense that I know they still got Aaron Donald and some good pieces, but they get rid of Jalen Ramsey this offseason. They got some other, like, it's not a good Rams roster. And Seahawks got dominated home. A Seahawks team that was also in the postseason last year And it, yeah, like you said, they lay an egg at home. That's not a good sign for them at all.
Got about a minute left.
I'll give one more quick one. Cincinnati Bengals, yes. 3 points against the Cleveland Browns. I know the weather conditions were terrible, but Joe Burrow throws for 82 yards.
I mean, six first downs.
He seems to always not play well week one. Like, he was awful last year against the Steelers in week one. But at Bengals offensive line, it's been their biggest concern forever. Joe Burrow's been the most sacked quarterback in the league for the last couple of years, despite how good he's been. They were awful. And that's, you know, I think the Bengals will still be really good, but that was pathetic performance from them.
I mean, Myles Garrett was just clowning them out there. He was doing like the fake. Did you see one time before he rushed, he's like doing like this, like he's acting like he's dribbling between the legs with a basketball, and then he busts right through up the center, and there he is right in Joe Burrow's face. Yeah, they got embarrassed. All right, good stuff.